I was trying to get a bones a minute, amen. So I had to do this. Amen. Amen. But before they come, the voice you will hear after that will be my friend, my brother.
Yes, sir.
The pastor, I didn't have his liturgy of everything, what he does. But his charity outreach ministry, charity and apostolic church. Amen. Amen. He is the founder of many. He has many accolades, many things that he's doing here in the city to benefit the people of God. And I want to thank all of you who have come out to hear him today. Amen. You didn't know it was him, but you came to hear the word. Amen. Amen. You come to hear the word. I come to get.
Come on now.
My spiritual godfather, every time I saw him or you talked to him, the voices that he would say was, "Is there a word from the Lord?" That's all he wanted to know when he see you. Did you bring him a word from the Lord? Amen. Bishop Cornelius Bowser from Charity Apostolic Church is the keynote speaker for the day. And after Pastor Bolton and First Lady Bolton come, they're from Word for there. If you want a word for life, not of life, but for life, it's in the word. It's in the book. So you got to know what you need and what you want. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Don't you want to go? Let's receive them by saying, "Praise the Lord." And after them, you will hear Bishop Cornelius Bowser. Let's receive him by saying, "Praise the Lord."
Come on, let's give God praise in the house for his glory. Oh, the name of the Lord is great, and he is, somebody say, greatly to be praised. Amen. He is our God, and we love him. Amen. How many love the Lord today? Come on, come on. If you love the Lord, just lift your hands to the Lord. Just tell him, say, "Lord, I love you. I love you." Hallelujah. You know, there's a word that's provided for us in the Bible, and we find that this word is universal. Mm-hmm. Means that in every language it means the same thing.
Sure.
So that means when I go to Mexico and when I'm really praising God or giving him glory, guess what I shout? I shout hallelujah. Yeah, I may go to Japan and praise the Lord, but guess what? When hands get lifted up, guess what we shout?
Hallelujah.
I might go to Zimbabwe or go to Ghana. Amen. But guess what happens when the people of God lift their hands? They begin to shout the same word together. We may not all speak the same language, but we will shout the same word. And that word is what?
Hallelujah.
And so we want to today just give God a great big hallelujah. So we want to declare to our God, hallelujah. Amen. Come on, saints of God, just, if you would, just stand in the presence of the Lord. Just lift your hands. Let's give the God that we worship.
Yes, sir.
Come on, let's give him glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy. Worthy of glory. Worthy of all adoration. Lord, your people, we come to give it to you. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on together, let's declare hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Presence.
Opportunity to come before you once again.
Yeah.
I think like the second time here and then it as a CD's church.
Yeah.
So you all been a blessing to me. And I want to give honor to Apostle Bishop Rosas. Thank God for you. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. District Elder Reader. Amen. Dr. Reader, thank you. One of you being here in the name of the Lord and all God's people, give God a praise. Hallelujah. Most definitely thank the Lord for my wife being in my midst, being our midst, I should say, and being with me. We had a fifth Saturday fellowship yesterday. On the fifth Saturday, I normally take a rest, then we have a speaker to come in. And we had Bishop Rose preach for us yesterday.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord. Amen. And so on. So we thank God for that. And we was trying to get some of the people out, but it looked like, I don't see the one here tonight, today.
We're here.
Or what have you. Yeah, there you go. But I know, like, I was telling this elder that, you know, a few of them, they go over, they on Sunday, because we have church on Saturday, they go around, they sing, they play, their musical instruments or whatever they're doing at other churches and so on. So 12 o'clock was kind of a tight spot for some of them and so on and so forth. But we said we'll go on in the name of the Lord. But there's many that doesn't do that, that should be here in the name of the Lord. So, but we, as Bishop Rose said, we're here. So we thank the Lord for each and every one of you that is here in the name of the Lord. And I'm not going to prolong the service, and I most definitely want to go to a scripture, and it's found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, and verse number 8. I read from the NIV, New International Version. I know many read from King James and some from other translations, but whatever translation is best for you, you could follow me
there in the name of the Lord. But the book of Acts is one verse, and I'll go to several other scriptures as we move along. But our main text is found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, and verse number 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world, earth, I should say, ends of the earth. Right. Give God a praise. Hallelujah. And I want to use for a theme, it's time to awaken the supernatural power of God. It's time to awaken the supernatural power of God. Let's look to the Lord. Dear Father, we thank you. We praise you and magnify you and lift you up. Thank you for this privilege and opportunity that we have to come in this place that is sanctified by your name to worship you and to hear your word. Lord, right here, right now, bless your people.
Yes,
give them the ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Break down the fallow ground in every heart, that they may be able to receive your word like a seed planted on good ground. Anoint me, bless me, strengthen me, enable me to bring forth your word. Anoint these lips of clay of mine, and let me not rest in the human wisdom, but in the power of the Spirit, that your people's faith will be strengthened, edified, built up, increased, made strong in you. Lord, have your own way. Use me for your glory right here, right now. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. You've got some praise. Just turn to somebody and say, it's time to wake up. Turn to somebody else and say, wake up. That power within you. Hallelujah. Somebody said, hey, it's woke. What you talking about? The power is alive and moving. Hallelujah. It's time to awaken the supernatural power of God. Today, many church members are satisfied with the church experience that boasts great worship, beautiful buildings, charismatic pastors, and influential programs.
Well,
we can have the best of human efforts.
All right.
Excellent music.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Compelling sermons.
Yes.
And a thriving social presence. And yet something crucial is missing. The church has become more about appearance and human achievement than about the divine power that should be evident in our midst. Sadly, the eyes of many believers are no longer seen through a lens of a supernatural. Instead, they have been conditioned to view God's work through human effort and natural means. We have settled for a church that is impressive on the outside, but powerless on the inside. We replaced the miraculous with performance.
Come on, preacher.
And as a result, the church has become superficial, lacking the supernatural evidence of God's presence.
Well, come on.
The Bible reminds us that God's power is not just a thing of the past. It's for today. The Holy Spirit, some of us say the Holy Ghost, came to empower us to be witnesses of his glory, signs, and wonders. Acts 1 and 8, Jesus declared, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you. And then you will be witnesses.
Then you will be my witness.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
This power is the supernatural ability given to us by the Holy Spirit, a divine force that should be alive in the church today. It's time for the church to wake up. From his complacency. To believe again in the miracles of our God. And to see his supernatural hand move mightily among us.
Talk to us.
The church.
Talk to us, preacher.
The church.
Yes, sir.
Was never called to be just an impressive organization.
Watch it now.
Or a social club. It was called to be a supernatural body.
Yes, sir. Yes.
That manifests the glory and power of God. So today we are called to awaken that divine power within us. And believe once more. In the miraculous. So I'll bring 4 points to you today. I tried to work due to three. Number one, miracles were the original power of the church.
Right, that's right.
Evidence of God's presence.
That's right.
Miracles.
Miracles.
Were the original power of God's church. Evidence of God's presence. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 8, NIV, and I read in your hearing, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
Well,
miracles, initially a powerful demonstration of God's presence.
Right. Come on, talk about it, Bishop.
And the church's authority.
Yeah.
Served as a foundational evidence of the early believer's faith. Acts of healing.
That's right.
Casting out demons.
Yes. Come on.
And even raising the dead. Documented in the Gospels and Acts, validated the message of Jesus and the work of the apostles. These supernatural events showcase the transformative power of God's grace. And were crucial in establishing the church's credibility and attracting converts in a world where the supernatural was often acknowledged and even sought after. Returning to a perceived level of supernatural power requires a renewed focus on faith, prayer, and obedience to God's will, fostering a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not to put down where I come from, but when I started pastoring, I had never seen a demon cast out. Never seen healing.
never really, I heard testimonies of people. But being in the church service, I didn't see it.
Well, come on.
I don't know if the focus was just on the apostolic doctrine and the oneness of God. James said, you believe there's one God, good. Demons believe that. We get stuck on the one God versus getting believing and having a relationship with him. Jesus said eternal life is not knowing that, having a revelation knowing that God is one, but the eternal life is knowing that you have a relationship with the one God. You know the one God. When I started pastoring and had to dive deeper into study, because now I got to feed folks.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got to pray, got to fast, got to get in the Word, got to research.
Yeah.
And as I started doing that, I started coming upon people in our modern time that God was using.
Yeah, come on.
Casting out demons.
Yeah.
Raising the dead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Opening deaf ears. And I was like, whoa, I know we preach and talk about it, but sometimes you see it as so far out of reach. And then God started dealing with me about demons and evil spirits. Cause I never seen it.
Right.
But now I'm learning about it. After I get out and start pastoring. And I remember once there was a sister that was demon possessed. She didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, so. But we were praying for that sister. Come out! She's acting crazy. And it went one day, 2 days, 3 days. And I was like, no, no, no. And the sucker's just scriptures. I said, wait a minute. Now, if you do that, I'm just telling you me. So I'm not doing that no more. I'm not going to make the person suffer because I don't have no power. Hallelujah. I got to fast and pray. I got to build up my faith to deal with that demon. Because I don't see Jesus or the apostle spending 3 and 4 days trying to cast out a demon. They leave and they leave. And I said, never again. If I don't have a part, I'll be back. Okay, Lord, you show me. I stumbled up on this. And you show me I don't have no power. Let me get some power then. Let me build up my faith. And then Jesus said, praying and fasting. And then we started seeing the supernatural work.
Right.
Started understanding how faith worked. We started seeing it.
Yes, sir.
And it's so easy to get caught up in church politics. To where that power and that focus wanes. And we just begin to focus on what we can naturally do. James chapter 4 and verse number 7 says, and this is the NIV, submit yourself then to God.
Submit yourself.
That's right.
That's a thing we always say, right? You gotta submit first.
Submit first.
You want some power, you gotta submit first.
Gotta do it.
Hallelujah. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, but you gotta submit. And this is how we build ourselves up in faith and prayer and having a fostering a deeper relationship with God. Because he says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:16, NIV. Paul said, I say, walk in the spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Right. Won't do it.
Time to get out of the flesh.
Right, right.
A closer relationship is necessary for return of spiritual power.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Bishop.
The early church was marked by signs, wonders, and miracles, proof of God's active presence.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Number two, point two. The supernatural
is a normal part of believing.
Right.
Not an exception. Because some people teach it's an exception. Some people teach that God works miracles, but every now and then. Uh-huh. The supernatural is meant to be a hallmark of authentic Christian life, not something rare or extraordinary.
Come on.
If we're supernatural, we're already extraordinary. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. He says, how shall we escape? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, excuse me. How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed by those who heard him. And God also testified by it,
right?
Testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
According to the will of God.
We don't have many gifts, but we hear about the nine, right? Theologians broken into three categories. Speaking gifts, power gifts, revelation gifts, right? And every believer should be operating
in the gift.
In the gifts.
Come on, preacher.
That's right.
We got to be mindful. We got to focus. We got to be praying.
Because
a lot of times we focus just on the speaking gifts.
Right.
A lot of times.
Right.
Speaking tongues. Give you a prophetic word. Right. But power gifts.
Yes.
Faith.
Yes.
Miracles.
Yes.
Gifts
of
healing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We got to move in that too. Revelation faith. Hallelujah. Wisdom and knowledge. Discernment of spirit.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Gifts, he distributed according to his will. Look, we can't just brush off salvation.
Right.
Like it's some abstract idea. Right here in Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, says it wasn't some theoretical concept.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's right.
God backed it up.
Salvation,
a relationship with him. He demonstrated it through incredible signs, wonders, and miracles, and even gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
These weren't just random occurrences. They were proof.
They were signs. Come on.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Witness by those who heard Jesus and by those who later believed. Like you and I.
Yeah.
The point is, God's involvement in salvation isn't something from the past. It's a real ongoing reality right now. Can somebody say right now? These weren't just random occurrences. Signs. Witnessed by those who heard Jesus. Hallelujah. The point is, God is still with us. Let us look at point number three. Getting there. The church has become superficial, missing the power. I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking about church as a whole. You only say, oh, me, if it's you.
if it hits you.
Apostle, what did Mr. Terry say? If you can't say amen, say, oh, me. Hallelujah. Oh, me. The church has become superficial, missing the power. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 through 16. Jesus speaking. I know your deeds. That you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other.
One or the other.
Because you are lukewarm. Neither hot nor cold.
I'm
about to spit you out of my mouth.
Spew you out. An involuntary.
Now I give because in the church we always think about fire being hot, right? And I give an example to the church in regards to this, is that it's not that hot is bad, good, and cold is bad. But the way the analogy I give, the example I give is, it's hot right now. Most people want a cold glass of water, a cold glass of tea to refresh them. In the winter, you want something hot. God said, I wish you were hot or cold to refresh you. Yeah, but you're lukewarm. Now, I like lukewarm for health reasons. But most people want to be refreshed. And God used this. The Lord used this to let us know that if you're lukewarm, not hot nor cold, he said, I'm about to, what is this? What is this? In today's world, often detached from a deep relationship with the divine, many believers and churches have become surprisingly uncomfortable, or I should say comfortable, with a superficial faith.
Right, come on.
Help us. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, 15 to 16 speaks of this directly portraying a church that's neither truly passionate or actively resisting worldly influences.
Watch it, Bishop.
Instead of burning fire of faith, there's a tepid lukewarmness. This apathy, this lack of fervent devotion, diminishes the very power of God that should be at work within us. Just like a flickering flame.
Talk about it.
A supernatural faith, or superficial faith, excuse me, can't generate the transformative and miraculous results that a fervent, actively engaged relationship with God promises. It's a subtle but significant difference between a genuine connection to the divine,
right,
with tangible results in our lives, and a merely outward, unmoving faith. Outward. Even Jesus said, these people, they go by appearance. They go by appearance. He said, don't judge by mere appearance.
That's right.
Make a true judgment. Instead of a burning fire, we have become tepid, as mentioned earlier. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 1. And it reads, to the angel of the church in Sardis write.
Right.
These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars.
Right.
I know your deeds.
I know it.
You have a reputation of being alive. We all the way live over here. Oh, we got it going. You got to come on the chair. We got it live. We got it going on. We come to be entertained. Hear the and we need the music and the choir and the great preaching and all of that, but we need God to back it up.
Right, that's right.
We are dealing with dead churches. Remember the movie said, "I see dead people."
Watch it now.
They have an outward appearance of being alive, but they are like beautiful graves filled with dead people. It's time to awaken the supernatural power of God. Number 4, a call to return to genuine faith.
Take your time, preacher. Take your time.
And expectation of miracles. Come expect. When you came today, what did you come to expect? You didn't just come and say, I'm clocking in and we better be out of here by 1:30, 2 o'clock or whatever it is, and so I can go do my thing. But then you come and say, I'm looking for a miracle. Man, so I'm looking for a miracle. Now, I'm not a singer, but I'm looking for a miracle. What are you expecting? James chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Hallelujah. Believers must expect and believe in miracles, healing, and divine intervention as a part of their daily walk.
Daily walk
of faith. Faith is the catalyst that activates God's supernatural power.
Come on, preacher.
James chapter 17 and verse 20, he replied, because you have so little faith. Why can we do it, Lord?
No, no.
Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, small little thing, or grow to a giant tree, you can say to this mountain, hyperbolic, right? Hyperbole. He said, say to this mountain. Exaggerated speech, but trying to make a point.
You're in the book, sir.
You can say that to this mountain, move from here and to there, and what would happen? It will be moved. Nothing will be impossible for you.
Nothing.
You ought to turn to your neighbor and say, nothing is impossible. Because all things are possible with God. Even small faith can bring about extraordinary results when rooted in trust in God's power. You ought to just turn to somebody and say, trust in God's power. The church has settled for superficiality, but God is calling us to a higher standard. A church that walks in the supernatural power of the Spirit. Can somebody say yes? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Give God some praise. It's time, dear Lord, to awaken our faith. It's time to believe again in miracles of our God. Hallelujah. And expect His power to manifest in our lives, in our churches, and in our community. Somebody ought to give God some praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. Can you say yeah? Say yeah. Say yeah. I'm so glad I've heard of the testimony to give me a little spark to know that God is still working. Yes. Say yes. Hallelujah. Sister Carol, you remember when Bishop, amen, we were with Bishop Cardell Wright and his wife, and they told us a story about a mother who God used to work miracles. Yes. And one day she was out of town preaching at a revival. Can you say yes?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And when she was gone, her son got shot. I can't remember, about 7, 8, 9, 10 times. Yes, and he died. They had him down in the morgue. Can you say yes?
Yes.
Hallelujah. When she got in town, she went straight to the morgue. She said, I got a word from the Lord. Can you say yeah? Is there a word from the Lord? God said, yes. Go and raise him from the dead. She went in the morgue and prayed for her son, he came back to life. That's how God works. Can you say yes? Say yes. Say yes. It's time for the church to move in the power of God. It's time for us to believe that God is still moving. He's still working. You don't have to come to church to get healed. He'll heal you in your home. He'll heal you in your car. He'll heal you no matter where you go. Can you say yes? Say yes. Say yes. Give God some praise. It's time to demonstrate the true power of God with signs and wonders. Follow the evidence and the glory of God. Give God some praise. Lift your hands and shout hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready to awaken the supernatural power of God within you? Can you say yes? If you got the Holy Ghost, you got power. If the Spirit lives, God is ready to do something awesome. Can you say yeah? Don't be settled. Don't be satisfied with just speaking in tongues. That's a supernatural thing. If God can bless you to do the supernatural with the tongues, he can bless you to raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind, unstop deaf ears. Can you say yes? Say yes. Turn to somebody and say, hey you, it's time to move in the power of God. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. Are you willing to believe once more for a miracle of divine breakthrough? Turn to somebody and say, hey you, it's time for your supernatural breakthrough. Give God some praise. The Holy Ghost is here today. Yes. Ready to power anew. Ready to bless you. So let us step out in faith and see the mighty work in our lives. Work in our home. Work in the church. Yeah. Hallelujah. I want to share with you. There are at least three men that inspire me. That inspire me. We know the main one is Jesus. He inspired us. He showed us how to do it. And I heard him when he said, greater works that you shall do. And I go to my Father. Can you say yeah? You got power to work a miracle. You got power, yeah, to let those gifts work through you. Whatever you need, God is able. He's able to do it. Hallelujah. But there's another man, Charles Finney and Smith Wigglesworth. The reason why I like Charles Finney, in the 1800s, he said we gotta get a closer walk with God. Can you say yes? No power can work in the church if we don't walk with God. Can you say yes? Hallelujah! Yes. When Finney came into town, the saloon shut down, the prostitute houses shut down. He didn't have a large sign saying revival. He just began to preach, and folks drew in, and folks got saved. Can you say yes? Say yes! Say yes! There's a few things that I learned from Finney. Number one, humility and deep repentance must be in the church. You gotta humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. that he made so true in due time. Can you say yeah? We gotta wake up and realize it's not our gift, it's God's gift. It's not our power, but God's power. Hallelujah. When you look and see, when I put this towel right there, how did it get there? I put it there. Yes. That means it's God that elevates you. It's God that uses you. It's God that blesses you. All you gotta do is draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Give God some praise. Shout hallelujah. Number two, he had powerful preaching of the simple gospel message. Number three, he was a part of a social cause of his day. He was about abolition. He was an abolitionist, a white dude. He used his platform to preach against slavery. If a white preacher has some slaves, then you can't hold license with us. Can you say yes? Charles Finney, hallelujah. Open up a college for black folks to come, black men and women to come and learn with white folks. Hallelujah. He stood for God. Can you say yeah? He, number four, he prayed. Number five, he interceded in the cause for the cause of the area. Number six, he burned for souls. Number seven, a life totally committed to God. Number eight, he had an experience with God. Can you say yeah? Say yeah! Say yeah! Hallelujah. I see old Smith Wigglesworth. That man really encouraged me. Yeah, he had numerous claims of divine healing during his ministry, including a woman healed of tumor, a woman healed of tuberculosis, a wheelchair confined woman walking. He raised the dead. Can you say yeah? I don't know if you shared with him. They called Smith Wigglesworth. There was a sister that was sick, and he went to her house. He said, sorry, Smith, she's already died. And Smith said, God hasn't sent me nowhere. Too late. Can you say yeah? Even his wife. But now, Smith, don't you do nothing crazy. Smith went in the room. Raised her from the dead. Can you say yeah? There was a woman that had a tumor in her stomach. Looked like she was pregnant. Can you say yeah? She came to the revival. That Smith Wigglesworth for that. Got in the line. Got prayer. Can you say yeah? Hallelujah. She went home. Came back to church the next day. Still looked like she got a tumor there. But she stood up and testified. I thank God that last night the Lord healed me. Can you say yeah? Smith came back the next year. She was in the church when testimony came. She said, I got a testimony that God last year healed me of a tumor. Everybody's looking, see the stomach still sticking out. Yeah. Smith came back for the third year and she was still there. She stood up and testified, said, God healed me of a tumor 3 years ago. Can you say yeah? Somebody said, Lord, will you open her eyes so she can see that she's not healed? She went home and prayed to God. Said, Lord, I know you healed me, but show them that you healed me. The tumor came out that day. Whatever was remained, the dead pieces. So I come here to tell you, church, we got to start believing again. We can't be afraid. Launch out to the deep. Now step out in God to see the miracle once again. Give God some praise. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is ready to do a miracle. Hallelujah. We got to get ready, church. God is ready to move. Get ready, church. God is ready to revive this church. If we just stretch out in faith and trust him, he will do what he said he would do. Give God some praise. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. 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 I'm not afraid of demons. I used to be. After that experience, I don't want to fear that no more. Can you say yes? But when you pray, when you fast, when you walk in obedience, when you serve him in faith, you can walk in a room and demons will take flight. Can you say yes? A few years ago, our sister battalion with a sister or a brother that had the Holy Ghost, that was seeking for the Holy Ghost. I was outside waiting. I heard them in there saying, Jesus, Jesus, he's making all kind of noises. So what in the world is going on? Stepped in the room, laid hands. Can you say yes? Laid hands, the demon left. He calmed down and came to his senses. The sisters, they did like the apostles. How could you and not us? It takes faith. It takes pride. It takes faith. And hallelujah, fasting and walking with God. Can you say yes? Anybody can be used by God. Give God some faith. Get ready. Get ready. For a miracle, it's about to happen. Give God some praise. It's time for the church to wake up. God is ready to do a supernatural thing, but it's up to us to trust him, to step out in faith. Be like Elisha. That first miracle he went in, he worked. When he took his mantle, Elijah's mantle, and smote the water. Where's the God of Elijah? The water split. And he walked across. They said, oh, the spirit of Elijah is on Elisha. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he wasn't afraid to act. Faith without works is dead. Don't be afraid. Step out on him. Even in our failures, we learn. We grow. Hallelujah. And God teaches us something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But keep on moving, keep on stepping forward.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And believe that God will do what he said he would do. He'll work it out for you. Give God another praise.